Well, good morning and Merry Christmas on this chilly Christmas-like Sunday. Maybe some of you aren't happy about that, but I love that it feels like Christmas. Thank you so much for celebrating this morning with us. Why don't you stand, and we're just going to sing some songs together.
Oh,
this to thee be all glory can. And word of the Father now in flesh appear. Oh, come let us adore.
Freedom, I am free.
So Jesus, this morning, if we come into this place because the holidays are hard, God, and we're just hurting this morning, would you remind us of what you did so long ago, God, the point of it all? God, and if we come here with joy this morning, surrounded by our family, God, would you remind us that you are the reason that that's even exists? God, and if we come here this morning distracted because of the presence and the financial burden and all the things that just don't even matter, would you remind us, God, that your grace and your love costs absolutely nothing? And that all that matters, God, is to come and adore you in this place. God, thank you for who you are, God, and what this holiday really means. God, would we feel empowered this morning by your Spirit to celebrate you and all that you are and all that you will do and all that you have done. In your precious and holy name, amen. You guys may be seated.
Amen and good morning and Merry Christmas. We're glad you came to worship with us this morning, especially on this cold morning. I want to thank the crew that came up here yesterday to set up so we didn't have to do it today. Thank you guys for doing that. That was awesome. And I promise the heater is on. We set it on like 70 yesterday when it was 48 in here. So I think it's a balmy 60 in here now, but it is on. So we're glad you came to worship with us this morning. If you're a guest, man, we want to welcome you as you worship with us today. And if you are a guest with us, I'd just love to encourage you to fill out that Connect card that's in your bulletin this morning. You could drop that off at our offering station or give it to me this morning. We would just be honored to be able to connect with you and your family this morning. Some of you have probably seen it on social media this week, some of you probably not, but it'll be 11 years until Christmas falls on a Sunday again. And I did the math, and it's like some of you have, my children will be 27, 21, and 15 next time that happens, and Tammy and I will be very, very uncomfortably close to 50, all right? So that's the next time this is going to happen again. So this is the reason for the season, right? For us to worship our Heavenly Father. This is the reason that we celebrate Christmas each year. So we want to be respectful of your time this morning. So we're going to pray and we're going to get into God's word and see what he has for us this morning. You guys join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the birth of your son, Jesus. We thank you for every person in this room. God, and this morning we do lift up those, God, that don't yet know your son, Jesus, as Savior. We pray that today on Christmas Day, as we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus, what better day to give their life to you, Father God. We pray for their salvation today, that your Holy Spirit would work in them. And we pray for those in here that already have a relationship with you, that even on Christmas Day, that you would encourage and challenge and move us forward in our faith, Father God, amidst all the distractions that are going on in our life. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I realize there's kids in here this morning. That's fine. A church without kids is a dead church. So I know they're going to wiggle around or they're going to make noise, and that's okay. So don't feel like you have to keep your kid like totally quiet. It's not going to offend or distract anyone. So our text this morning, if you're able and can, I want to invite you to turn me to Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20 this morning. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. Again, if you're able, I want to invite you to turn with me there and follow along this morning. And as you guys are turning there, I'm going to read the text, and that way we can set the tone for what's going on this morning. And so this is what it says, starting in verse 15, as Luke writes his gospel. He says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told to them." So if you're a guest this morning, we've been going through the month of December through our Christmas series, and we've covered the miraculous conception of Christ, and we've covered his birth, and we've looked specifically at the lives of Mary and Joseph, and how they were forced during the time of this miraculous conception and Jesus' birth to make some difficult choices. You know, as God was calling them to be a part of his redemption plan, his plan to rescue humanity, and how they were presented with this opportunity where they could choose to accept his invitation or reject it. They were presented with this opportunity to choose faith or fear, and they both chose faith over fear. They both chose to accept God's invitation to be the earthly parents of the promised Messiah instead of retreating in fear and saying, God, I don't want to do that. And then last week, we started looking at the shepherds that were in the field as God appeared to them and revealed to them that the Messiah had come. He didn't reveal that the Messiah had been born to the religious elite of the day or the wealthy or the powerful, but the lowly, nameless shepherds that were watching their field that night that God came to earth. And so this morning, as you can tell, we're going to continue to look at the role of these shepherds, because just like Joseph and Mary, they were also faced with a decision where they were going to have to choose faith or fear as God calls these lowly shepherds to go and see what is lying in a manger in Bethlehem. So as you look at verses 15 and 16, you see at this point the angels have departed. They've went back to heaven, and once again the shepherds are sitting in the stillness of night alone with their sheep, surrounding, you know, in the field surrounding Bethlehem. And so when I think about that, this is kind of what I think would go down. Like if I was with a group of dudes and that just happened, this is kind of the conversation that would unfold. Like the angels ascended back into heaven, and you start looking around and like, hey bro, you just see that? Like, did you just see what happened there? Is that just me? Like, was I dreaming? You're trying to confirm whether you're crazy or not, right? And you're like was it something that I just dreamed? Was it a hallucination from the bad Mexican food I just had? Like, I want to make sure you saw what I saw. And so after they conferred with one another, like, yeah, we saw that. Okay, I'm not crazy. We're good. They made this collective decision to go and see what the angel had told them about. They go see for themselves this good news, this Savior of all people lying in a manger. And so the shepherds, like Mary and Joseph, chose faith over fear. They could have been fearful. They could have ran away when the angel had told them the things, but they chose faith over fear. They chose to have faith that what the angel told them was true. They chose to have faith over doubt. They chose faith over rebelling against God. These lowly, nameless shepherds serve a great example to you and us of what it looks like to walk by faith, right? Think about it. Everything they had just been told, we talked about it last week, would have been culturally not acceptable. It would have been very strange for God, you know, in their mindset of their culture, for God to show up and tell the lowly shepherds who were considered cultural outcasts to come see God who has come to earth. You know, these men weren't even allowed in the temple of God because they were considered ceremonially unclean. And so it had been very strange, or processing and all, that God came that night and revealed to them that there was the Messiah in the manger and y'all should go and see it. And then you got this whole thing of, okay, the angel just told us that the King of Kings has come to earth, but why is this King of Kings not lying in the warmth of the palace and instead in a stable full of animals? So there's a lot of strange things going that they're probably processing. They're not used to hearing because of their culture. And logically, these men had a lot of reasons to doubt what they had been told. Just like a lot of us, we live on our intellect and our knowledge. There's a lot of things about Scripture that logically don't make sense, because following Jesus requires us to live by faith, not by sight, right? Like, so there's things, if they would have just went off their gut instinct, if they went off their logic and their knowledge, these blue-collar men, they could have been like, hey, that angel's nuts. Like, I don't know what we just saw. This couldn't be, because this isn't how things are supposed to work. But they chose to have faith instead of doubting. They chose to have faith over their fear. You know, they could have done like the spies did when Moses sent them to into the promised land. You know, all but two came back and just were trembling at what they saw there. They chose fear over faith. They chose to cower in fear instead of trusting God in faith to go and secure the promised land. But they didn't. The shepherds chose faith. They chose to have faith that what the angel said was true. They chose to have faith over any doubts they might have had. They chose to have faith even though they didn't have all the answers. And so in faith, these shepherds went into Bethlehem to see this thing the angel told them about. And I think it's interesting what Luke writes in verse 16, because the first thing he says is the shepherds, they left their fields to Bethlehem in haste. Now, I'm not sure if they were running in a dead sprint to go and seek out this baby Messiah, but they definitely were not wasting any time to go and find Jesus. There was a sense of urgency about them when they went to find this Savior. And not only does Luke say that they went with urgency, but he says they went and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. Now understand, they were in the field surrounding Bethlehem. Jesus wasn't just right around the corner. They didn't just walk right down the street. They had to make their way back into the town in the pitch black of night to find Jesus. I mean, think about it. There's a reason Luke used that word found. When you find something, that means you have been looking for it. You've been seeking after something, right? If you have found it. And so this angel who apparently was really good at showing up in the middle of the night and giving good news, he wasn't real good at giving directions. Like, he told them where the destination was, but he did not tell them how to get there. So they had to spend some time during the darkness of that night in Bethlehem searching out and finding this new Messiah. Now, the text does not say this specifically, but most theologians kind of believe that it was the Holy Spirit that led the shepherds through the darkness of that night, which makes sense. It fits, you know, God's nature. And it was the Holy Spirit that led them to just the right location where the family was resting that night. And while that part may be speculation on our part, the truth still remains that for those who are abiding in Christ Jesus, we can have faith and trust that the Holy Spirit will always lead us to the exact right place at just the right time according to the will of God. That truth never, ever changes. Scripture says that God has pre-made plans for each of us as part of his redemption story, that he invites us to be a part of. He doesn't force us, he invites. Just like he invited Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds to come and choose faith over fear and be a part of what he was doing in Bethlehem that night. And the first step in accepting that invitation is accepting Christ as Lord. And the second is pursuing the call that he's put on your life. And it's in the pursuit of that call that the follower of Christ has been given a helper called the Holy Spirit, who dwells in the heart of every born-again believer, who not only strengthens the believer for the journey, but also faithfully guides the steps of the believer. And so, but what happens a lot of times is as followers of Christ, we acknowledge that about the Holy Spirit. We say, yes, we're going to follow you, God. And then we start letting the Holy Spirit lead. And then the Holy Spirit leads us down a little sketchy alleyway that we're not comfortable with. It leads us into some dark places and we get fearful and we start to choose fear over faith. And we go back to what's comfortable and familiar instead of staying in the course with the Holy Spirit. But I can say this with full confidence, that no matter how dark the road may seem that the Holy Spirit leads you down, how uncomfortable it may get, he will always, always lead you to the exact right place at the exact right time. He will never, ever lead you to a place that is going to harm you or destroy you. He's going to lead you to a place that is in exact cooperation with the will of God. Amen. Without fail, because he is faithful. But we have to choose faith over fear. You don't do great things for God if you choose fear over faith. God doesn't do great things through you if you choose fear over faith. You have to choose faith over fear. You have to trust in the one you're following. You have to trust that he is good, that he is holy, that he is righteous, that he is in control of all things, that no matter how dark and sketchy the road gets, that he's got you, he's leading you, he knows what he's doing better than you do. Amen. Because he can see the end from the beginning. All you can see what's right in front of you. You've got to choose faith over fear. Let's continue in our text. The shepherds, they find the young family. Everything was just as the angel had said, fulfilling the angel's prophecy. Another notch in God's belt of everything he's ever said was going to happen, happening. And Luke says in verse 17 that after seeing the young family, that the shepherds made known everything they had seen and heard that night. Not just to Mary and Joseph, but to everyone they encountered that night. And I know many of you have seen the TV series Chosen, and as it depicts the life of Jesus. And they have one that focuses on the shepherds the night that Jesus was born. And it depicts them when they, after they go and find Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the manger, they're just like frantically and excitedly sprinting through Bethlehem. Just everybody they bump into, they're just almost yelling at them, saying, come see what I found. This thing has happened tonight. God has come to earth. And so that's kind of how I envision that in my mind, is as once they saw that everything the angel had said was to be true, they couldn't help but to tell everybody they saw. And then in verses 18 and 19, we're going to read that again. This is how the people responded to what they were telling them about what they had seen and heard that night. He said, in verse 18, it said, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And these two different responses, you had those that marveled, and then you had Mary who took these truths of God that they had heard, as she had heard, and she stored them up. She hid them in her heart. She pondered them. These are still the most typical responses when somebody's presented with the birth of Jesus today. Yeah, you got the naysayers and the cynical people, but overall, it's either one of amazement and marvel and wonder, or one of, you know, hiding that truth in your heart, you know. Because even if you're not a believer, even if you don't believe God exists, to hear the story of how this baby came to earth that night, how of the miraculous conception and being born in a manger and how he showed up to the shepherds and all the things that took place, it's a really awesome story, whether you believe it or not. It gets your attention. It stirs up your emotions and your thoughts. I mean, if you were just reading it in a fantasy book, it would be a story that kept your attention. And then you have those like Mary, who Luke said stored these things up, pondered them, meditated on them. She took the truths about her son, the Messiah, and she hid them in her heart. And those are still the two responses we have today. People who have heard the story, they know the history. It stirs up feelings of amazement and wonder and marvel. It causes them to feel the magic of Christmas, right? But that's as far as it gets, knowledge and feelings. And then you have those who are like Mary, who hear this story of Jesus being born in a manger, and they accept it as truth in its entirety. And they store those truths up in their heart. They ponder them. They meditate on them. They allow them to influence and transform their lives. See, many marvel at the Christmas story. Many will say Jesus is the reason for the season, you know, hence Christ must. Many believe in his miraculous conception and his birth. But just having knowledge in that does not save a person from their sins. It does not grant them eternity into heaven. With that in mind, I want us to look at the last verse in our text, verse 20. And I want us to read that together one more time. And it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The shepherds could not help but glorify God. They could not help but give praise to God. They could not help but worship him for all they had seen and heard that night. And so thinking about that in our own lives, what things are worthy of our worship in our own life? It's things we love. It's things that our heart desires. It's things that we believe to be true, that we accept to be true. And for those that simply marvel at the Christmas season, those that simply have knowledge of Christ, their response is never one of worship to the Christmas story. Those who just accept it as knowledge and marvel at it, they don't give praise and glory to the God of salvation. Because that praise and that glory, that worship is reserved for those who love God. And Scripture says that we love God when we know him, and we only know him through a relationship with the resurrected Christ. We have to have a relationship with him, not just know about him, not just know about how he came to earth that night. Listen, these feelings you have during the Christmas season, the magic of the season, the joy you may feel. Look, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's a 24/7 feeling you have access to. You don't have to wait 364 days a year to have that magic of the season. You can have it all the time if you accept the resurrected Jesus and not just know about the baby Jesus. Because the good news of that night that the angels brought to them, it gets better. There's more to the story. That little kid grew up and became the Savior we all desperately need. Listen, knowledge of Jesus doesn't save you. Belief that he is the reason for the season doesn't atone for our sins. Going to church and putting a nativity in your yard at Christmas time does not reconcile you to God. But rather, it's the belief in his death and his resurrection, acknowledging him as Lord, repenting and confessing of our sins that saves us and reconciles us to God. So let us marvel at the Christmas story. But my prayer is that that marvel, that wonder, that amazement, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, would move you, would lead you away from baby Jesus to the resurrected Jesus, and that you would know the true wonder and reason and meaning of the season. That the words we're singing on the screen would have a whole new meaning to you. Like, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm gonna be honest with you this morning. Like, what is it you're singing about? Who is it you're singing to this morning? What is it you're celebrating today if you don't have a relationship with Jesus? This holiday gets way more interesting, and you're more able to celebrate all the more when you have a relationship with the one who it's about. As we close our time together this morning, here's the hope I have for us as we consider this text. Is that like the lowly shepherds and like Mary and Joseph, you and I would continually choose faith over fear. And as the shepherds did, we would choose faith and we would run with haste after Jesus. We would run with urgency after Jesus, whether you have a relationship with him or not. If you don't, my prayer is that you would urgently run after him. And if you have a relationship, I pray that you urgently continue to run after him. My hope is that you would not have to require all the details to follow him, but you would just simply trust that he is God, that he is faithful, that he is good, and he controls all things. That you would spend time cultivating your relationship with Christ in the coming days and the coming year ahead, spending time in his word, and like Mary, you would hide the truths of God in your heart, ponder them, meditate on them, allow them to penetrate your heart and your soul and transform your life. That you would allow the word of God to encourage you, bring comfort, bring hope, that you would grow in your daily intimacy with Christ. And so as we close, I think you can sum up the Christmas message in this. Most of you are familiar with this passage, John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We're condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody or make anybody feel bad. He came to save us. That's why he came on that first Christmas night. Jesus being born in that manger was and is the greatest news any of us could ever receive. God sending his son to pay a debt we could never pay so that you and I could be reconciled to God, to be in a relationship with him, not because he had to, but because he wanted to, because he desires you and he desires me. And so as we worship this morning, as we celebrate this day, remember that while he may not always show up with a sky full of angels, God is always seeking after you. He's always knocking on the door of your heart. Even if you're far from God, even if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, he's knocking at this moment, wanting you to receive the best Christmas gift you've ever gotten in your life and that you will ever get in his son Jesus. And if you are following Christ, if you have that relationship, he's still knocking. He's inviting you, calling you to be a part of his redemption plan, calling you to choose faith over fear, to be a messenger of this greatest news ever to the rest of the world. So wherever you're at this morning, the shepherds have given us a model, whether you are a follower of Christ or you're not yet a follower of Christ. And the first thing we have to do is choose faith. Choose faith in what God says is true. Choose faith that he is who he says he is. Choose faith that all his promises are always yes and amen. And then second, we have to seek. We have to go and find him. We have to run after him with urgency and haste, without delay, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, even if it get down a road of unfamiliarity and being uncomfortable. And if we do that, if we choose faith over fear, I promise you, if you choose faith over fear and you seek Jesus with urgency and sincerity every single time, you're gonna find Jesus every single time. He's not hiding. He's just waiting for you to choose him. He's waiting for you to follow and obey. He's never hidden himself. He's been right here the whole time. He says, come and follow me. Every time you choose faith over fear, you are always going to find Jesus. And every time you run after Jesus, when you freely give yourself to Christ and his kingdom, when you give him your whole heart and not just a piece, when you move from, oh, that's a great story, to, Lord, you are my king, it's always, always going to lead to praising God, glorifying God, giving him worship. You're never going to choose Jesus and get to the other side and say, man, I regret that decision. It doesn't happen. So how are you going to respond to the Christmas story this morning? Let's pray and worship this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the gift of your Son. And we just pray that you would work in this place this morning, that our worship would be a sweet aroma to you, Lord. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And here
to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, and just know today that if you need to make a next step with Christ, if you want to follow through and understand what it means to be a follower of Christ, you want to follow through with a believer's baptism, if you want to get plugged into the life of the church and begin the discipleship journey, man, we can talk about that even on Christmas Day, all right? I want to give you guys a couple of announcements before you head out. I know you got things to do today, but just know that next Sunday, that's New Year's Day, we're meeting. We got something special planned, and you don't find out unless you show up on Sunday. So that's how that's going to work. And then January 8th, we're going to kick off our new series for the year in Nehemiah. And then we're going to have our first SALT/night of worship meeting that night. It's going to be here in the gym from 5 to 7. So just make plans to be there. We're going to kind of lay out what the year is going to look like for us. And we want you to, you don't have to be serving in any way. If you're just an attender or a member here, you're free to come to that. You don't have to sign up, just show up. So I'll invite you to come to that. And then today, I know you guys got places to go. If you could just help us put the chairs against the wall and spare a few minutes and load this stuff on the trailer so these guys can get home and do what they're going to do today, man, we'd greatly appreciate that. But we love you guys, and Merry Christmas, and we'll see y'all next week. Thank you, guys.